Book of Zechariah, and we're in chapter 2. We're in chapter 2. And we're going to read down through verse 5 and spend the most of our time on verses 4 and 5. I was thinking about what Zechariah is declaring to those in in Judah and Benjamin that understood something. Now, he's declaring it to everybody. He's not withholding the truth of the gospel from anybody. But there are some people that looked at him as, I wish you weren't here. And there were a group of people that says, we're thankful you're here because you are God's minister to us. And you're the only, you have a message. The only hope we have is the one you're preaching. And Zechariah preached a messenger of the gospel, a messenger of the covenant, a messenger of God who was successful, who is successful. And I was just thinking in my religious experience, there was always an unsuccessfulness about God because I really sometimes never knew where I was. And that was corrected in regeneration. I know that I'm still a sinner. In fact, I'm much worse of a sinner now than I was in religion. And I told a lot of people I was a better Christian when I was in religion than I am now, because I worked very hard to keep a good face, a front before people. But in Christianity, we are revealed, as the Old Testament, the book of Ezekiel shares with us, after we're regenerated, we truly find out some of the effects of the fall in us, not other people. They're the least of our concern. The concern is now us. And to have a Savior that really saves is such a blessing. And that's who Zechariah is preaching. Now, here in the book of Zechariah, chapter 2, I lifted up my eyes again and looked, and behold, a man with a measuring line in his hand. And we spent some time on that, and we're thankful that this measuring line truly is Christ. He has his people. He has the length, the width, and the breadth of them. He has the number of them. He knows us intimately. In fact, just for a sideline, he added, I know the number of hair on your head. And that's not just being a foolish statement. That's saying, I know you intimately. I know you as my children, and I also know those who are not my children. And he declares that too. So he has a measuring line, and we don't measure up, but he does. We can't measure up, but he has. He is the measure, and God has so blessed us in Christ Jesus. He is the fulfillment of the law bodily. Every jot and tittle of the law fulfilled in Christ. And he is all our righteousness. He truly is the measuring line. Then said I, whither goest thou? And he said, to measure Jerusalem, the church. Now, no doubt there was some measurements going on physically, but the physical measurements of Jerusalem at this time have no effect on us at all. Had no effect really upon the people of God at that time. It's a place to live. It's a picture and a type and a shadow of a wonderful place called the church, the assembly of God, the body of Christ, however we want to term that. All of the sheep gathered together in one place, bowing at the feet of the Lord Jesus. And I'm going to measure the breadth thereof, and what is the length thereof. And behold, the angel that talked with me went forth, and another angel went out to meet him. And he said unto him, run, speak to this young man. I'm thankful as we read the scriptures that that is what is said to us. Go speak to us. Go speak to the church. Go speak. And in the estimation of God, we're all young folks. We are young folks. The gospel makes us young. The eternity is ours. There is no end to the blessings that the Lord has for us. So go tell him. And it also gives us a little bit of information with regard to Zechariah. Some commentators say he must have been fairly young to have this term used about him, but it doesn't matter how old he was. The message was given to him. And he says here, run, speak to this young man, saying, Jerusalem shall be inhabited as towns without walls for multitude of men and cattle. For I, saith the Lord, will be unto her a wall of fire round about, and will be the glory in the midst of her. So we want to spend some time on this passage of scripture here, these verse 4 and 5, as we see the Lord speaking with regard to Jerusalem and the safety that he declares he will keep the church in. Now, you know, we look at it sometimes in the history of the church, the history of God's people, it doesn't look like a very safe time. It wasn't sometimes physically safe, but they were always safe spiritually. That's the thing about a Savior that actually saves. They're always safe spiritually. They cannot have history rewritten for them. They are all, everyone that Jesus Christ redeemed, everyone that he knew before the foundation of the world, everyone whose names are written down in the Lamb's Book of Life, are secure in him. And he alters not their course. He alters not their case. They always have this blessed fact about them that they can address God, our Father who art in heaven. Hallowed be thy name. We have that blessed. And the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. We have these blessed things said to us as they're recorded throughout the scriptures. Now, we don't have to go very far in the Bible to find out the blessings that the Lord has for the church. He's always had these for the church. He will continue to have them for the church, and they will be our rich blessings throughout eternity. Every spiritual blessing. In the book of Zechariah alone, there are a number of verses that share with us that God's protective care of the church. As we read there in verse 4, I said unto him, run, speak to this young man, saying, Jerusalem shall be inhabited as towns without walls. Now, it was not a very good idea in the days that this was written, in the days of Isaiah or the days of Abraham, that you lived in a town that didn't have a wall around it. Jericho, it says, was shut up. Well, they had a wall about it, and that's one of the great miracles that God performed for the church there, was to see those walls come down. And we find that writers have used that as a type and a picture of him taking our walls of resistance down and folding them up as if we had no defense, and then coming in his greatness and in his glory and saving those that were appointed, like we find Rahab saving those who were appointed. Well, back up with me in chapter 1 and verse 17. Notice this verse of scripture. Cry yet, saying, thus saith the Lord of hosts, Zechariah 1:17, my cities through prosperity shall yet be spread abroad, and the Lord shall yet comfort Zion, and shall yet choose Jerusalem. What a wonderful statement is found here that Zechariah was to declare to the people. Now, to some of them, it was just a habitation. It was just a place to live. To some of them, it represented their position in Christ, their position in the Messiah, their position in God, that he would take care of all of the necessary things. Everything that God requires, everything that God requires, Jesus Christ gives. That's why we have no want. Because he has provided everything that we need. He has provided redemption. He has provided sanctification. He has provided righteousness. He has given his blood to redeem us. Everything that we need. We are unclean. He is clean. He provides his cleanliness. He is tall. We're short. He provides his tallness. Everything that we could need, every capacity that we are dire in need of, he is the fulfillment of it in a spiritual context. We can't see. He's the great seer, and he gives us his sight. This Sunday in the bulletin, If we have eyes that are nearsighted or farsighted, we can get glasses to help fix that. But if we're blind, it takes a miracle. That truly comes to everything that we need spiritually. We don't have it. It takes a miracle. It takes God. Also, in the book of Zechariah, chapter 8, look here with me. Zechariah, chapter 8, verse 4 and 5. Zechariah was used a number of times in this book, this letter, this declaration, this message to those in Jerusalem that were of Judah and Benjamin. Here in Zechariah chapter 8, verses 4 and 5 says, "Thus saith the Lord of hosts, there shall yet old men and old women dwell in the streets of Jerusalem, and every man that, with his staff in his hand for very age, and the streets of the city shall be full of boys and girls playing in the streets thereof." Safety will be enjoyed. It's a retirement home with the greatest possible blessings, and yet it's also a place for the young. It covers every aspect of life. The old, the infirm, they have his righteousness. And the young, what's it say? They shall playing in the streets thereof. Now, there's some religions that wouldn't think very highly of us playing in the streets, but we get to. We get to enjoy the rich blessings of the holy God and enjoy it. We get to smile about it. We get to laugh about it. We get to thank God about it. It's not dreary, but it's so satisfying to find these things. In chapter 12 and verse 6, chapter 12 and verse 6, it's amazing. Some of the old Puritans thought you didn't have any relationship with God unless you were just beating yourself down. Well, we don't find much of that in the scriptures. We have the Lord took that for us. So we have this ability to be thankful to God and allows us to smile and rejoice in him. Zechariah chapter 12 and verse 6, "In that day will I make the governors of Judah like a hearth of fire among the wood and like a torch of fire in the sheath, and they shall devour all the people round about on the right hand and on the left, and Jerusalem shall be inhabited again in her own place, even in Jerusalem." This, what a blessing. He's going to take care of all the enemies. Every enemy of the church is going to be taken care of. This is about the church. Now, no doubt it was a blessing to those people who left Babylon and came to Jerusalem. They came there, and it was a blessing to finally be home and to see that God was taking care of some of the physical enemies that had hounded them and brought great consternation in their lives. But there were some that understood that this is what God does spiritually. He takes care of our enemies. He really saves us from our sin. He really saves us from ourself. He really saves us from hell. He really saves us from the grave. All those things that were of great fear in the natural heart are taken away, and we have great anticipation and joy in the Lord. In the book of Zechariah, chapter 14 and verse 10, 14 verse 10 and 11, it says here, "All the land shall be turned as a plain." I appreciate that word plain when we get over there to the book of Luke, chapter 6. He had the Sermon on the Mount. He had the Sermon on the Plain. And what a comfort it is to be on the plain, to be even. "From Gibeah to Ramoth, south of Jerusalem, and shall be lifted up and inhabited in her place, from Benjamin's gate unto the place of the first gate, unto the corner gate, and from the tower of Hemiel unto the king's wine presses, and all men shall dwell in it. And there shall be no more utter destruction, but Jerusalem shall be safely inhabited." Whew. Jerusalem shall be safely inhabited. Zion, the city of our God. Other prophets were brought in throughout the Old Testament to share with God's people the security that they have in Christ, the security that they have in God. It's no wonder that Malachi was used to write that God changes not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. Rest in his immutability. He will not bring this charge up again. He is not going to be historical and bring up the past. It is settled. It is settled at the cross. So this thing is taken care of. But turn with me, if you would, back to the book of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 33. Excuse me. Isaiah chapter 33 and verse 20. In Isaiah chapter 33 and verse 20, Isaiah, the prophet, is used to share with us some of the blessings that God is going to pour out on the church. Upon Zion, upon Jerusalem, spiritual Jerusalem. There is always that element of physical blessings. But those physical blessings to national Israel ended in AD 70. Amen. It's over. And here, Isaiah 33 and verse 20, it says, look upon Zion, the city of our solemnities. Thine eyes shall see Jerusalem, a quiet habitation, a tabernacle that shall not be taken down. Not one of the stakes thereof shall ever be removed. Do you remember what happened to the tabernacle in the wilderness? I don't know how long it stayed in a place, but there were times it moved on and on. And they had certain things that they had to do to stabilize that tabernacle. Well, here, this tabernacle will never be taken down. And notice that it says, not one of the stakes thereof shall ever be removed. The binding part of the tabernacle, the spiritual blessings of God, that which holds us to the solid rock, shall never be broken or removed. You mean I'm stable? Absolutely. And then it goes on, it says there, neither shall any of the cords thereof be broken. It's not enough that the stakes won't be pulled out of the ground, but all of those cords that were used to stabilize, they're not going to get old. They're not going to wear out. They're going to always be. So the Lord has these spiritual blessings that are eternal. He is the ambassador of the everlasting covenant. That is truly the sum and substance of the gospel, is that Jesus Christ is the ambassador, the mediator of an everlasting covenant that God had an interest in the people before the foundation of the world, and he is intent on carrying out every promise to its finality, even to the point of saying to that whole host on his right hand, those sheep on the right hand, welcome to the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Now we know that those folks on the right hand are just like Peter when he says, remove yourself from me, for I'm a sinful man. We are there. Those on the left hand side, they hadn't done anything wrong. Those on the right hand side had never done anything right. And yet they, by the grace of God, enter into the kingdom prepared from the foundation of the world. So this is a wonderful verse of scripture. Not one stake, the wind can't pull one stake out of the ground or break one cord. How many stakes are there? Well, we go over there in the Old Testament, we find out how many held down that tabernacle. But the true tabernacle, the church of the living God, is held in place by the very person, Jesus Christ, and he will not have one broken part. He will not renege on one thing, one spiritual blessing. He will continuously hold it to the very end. God that cannot lie. And he gives us his promise of his unchangeability. All right, and then over, if you turn with me to the book of Isaiah 44. Isaiah 44, as we think about these wonderful blessings of the church, the promise of Zechariah is shared by, you go tell that young man this. You run over and tell that young man this. I know he's a little downcast there. We've called him to do this work, and he's a young man, but you go tell him this. Jerusalem shall be inhabited, and nobody will drive the inhabitants out. Go tell him that. Well, that's just the same as we hear the gospel today. Jesus Christ has intended to save his people. He will save his people, and nobody can take his people away from him. Really? What happens when I sin? Nothing. Except here. There's no change goes on in the mind of God. We come and say, Lord, forgive me, for I know not what I do. But to him, it hasn't made an alteration in his feeling towards the church or any member of the church, because he has promised that he will deliver us completely and whole. All right, book of Isaiah chapter 44 and verse 26 says there, that comforteth the word of his servant and performeth the counsel of his messengers, that saith to Jerusalem, thou shalt be inhabited. Oh, some would say that, you know, he just doesn't know how many inhabitants he's going to have in Jerusalem. He does. He has a name for every one of them, and every one has a place. And to the cities of Judah, ye shall be built, and I will raise up the decayed places thereof. Boy, if there's ever anything that was decayed, that's the natural man in his natural state, that Jesus comes along and finds his lost sheep in that condition and raises them out of the decay. I lift them out of a horrible pit. I lift them out of decay. There, nothing can be possibly good said about decay. Dennis says, that's not good. Doctor says, that's not good. We know it's not good. And he says, I'll lift you out of decay. So the promise he's made to Jerusalem, to the church, to save the church completely, wholly, and totally. Not one will be lost. And then in the book of Jeremiah, would you turn with me to the book of Jeremiah chapter 31? Jeremiah chapter 31, and there in verse 38 through 40. Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 38. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that the city shall be built to the Lord from the tower of Hamel unto the gate of the corner. And the measuring line shall yet go forth over against it unto the hill of Gerib, and shall compass about Goath. And the whole valley of dead bodies, and the ashes, and the fields upon the unto the brook Kidron, and unto the corner horse gate toward thee, shall be holy unto the Lord. It shall not be plucked up nor torn down for any more forever. The terrible state, and yet it shall not be torn down. You know, as he talked here about this measuring line, there's two things in Scripture that cannot be measured. The heart is deceitful above all things. Who can know it? We cannot measure the depths of our own depraved heart. You know, for years and years and years, they couldn't actually discover the depth of Crater Lake. They tried and tried. Science came along late. He sent a beam down there, bounced back up, and says it's 1,943 feet. But you can't do that with the natural heart. We don't have the ability of measuring the depth of despair. But the Lord says, I know the heart. I know the heart. We can't measure. He does. And we cannot measure the love of God. It's beyond our capacity. And when we talk about the love of God, we can't measure God. I can't. The width and the depth and the height and the breadth is how Paul mentioned it in the Corinthians. We just can't get there from here. So that measuring line won't measure two things for us, and we're thankful. I'm thankful that God, knowing my heart, still laid down his life a ransom. And it wasn't the depth of despair that caused him to move toward us in any capacity, or any good that he saw in us that caused him to move toward us in any capacity. It is his free grace. Free, unmerited favor of any kind. So, we have this place. and it shall not be plucked up nor thrown down any more forever. Well, I wonder what the folks said when Stephen was stoned to death. They wept, but they also said he's been promoted. Whatever. What did they think when they got word that Paul had been killed, martyred? He was ready to be offered. We'll miss him to the bone. But he's been promoted. He said, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Turn with me to the book of Nehemiah. In that, this verse, Nehemiah chapter 6, verse 15. Go back to the book of Nehemiah, Ezra, Nehemiah. Nehemiah chapter 6 and verse 15. Now, in verse 5 of the book of chapter 2 of the book of Ezra, I got to read that. Zechariah chapter 2. Verse 5, it says, "For I, saith the Lord, will be to her a wall of fire round about, and will be the glory in the midst of her." Now, if we look here in Nehemiah chapter 6 and verse 15, we find that the wall, the physical wall, was finished under Nehemiah. So the wall was finished in 25th day of the month Elul, in the 52 days. The wall was finished. Now, there are people that come along and tell us that this passage of Scripture over here in the book of Zechariah is about the physical wall, and that's what we're looking for. But we're not looking for a physical wall because it's already built. They have a wall. Or are they going to have a wall? That's irrelevant to have that. So when we get to looking here in Zechariah chapter 2 and verse 5, it says, For I, saith the Lord, will be unto her a wall of fire round about. He's talking about that there's a city without a wall, physical wall, that has defenses that nobody can break through. It's much better than having a physical wall. It's much better than having a declaration of faith that we're going to stand on, because that's going to fail and fall. But this wall cannot be broken, torn down. It's a wall of fire. What is that? Well, we know it's the Lord Jesus Christ himself is the protector of the church. He is the knight that protects the church. He is the fire by the cloud by day and the fire by night. He protects the church. Nothing can come up against the church and harm the church in any capacity spiritually. They may take people that belong to the church, as Saul of Tarsus did with those who were part of the body of Christ in Damascus or in Jerusalem. He had several of them killed, but they could not get to their spiritual well-being. He couldn't take that away from them. He could not take the peace that passeth all understanding away from them. He could not take their position away from them. He could only take their breath away from them. And in that, they were promoted to the glory of God Almighty. Notice with me in the book of Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 26. Isaiah chapter 26, and here in verse 1. Isaiah chapter 26 and verse 1. In that day shall this song be sung in the land of Judah. Now, in that day is the gospel day. Now, to Isaiah, it was a different day than it was for Zechariah. And it was a different day than it was for me. It's a different day than it was for you, but it's the gospel day. It's when God caused the gospel to be known to us. In that day, this song shall be sung in the land of Judah. We have a strong city. Now notice the wall. We have a strong city. Salvation will God appoint for walls and bulwarks. Now, if we grasp a little bit about salvation as of the Lord, we're beginning to see what these bulwarks, what these walls and bulwarks are. They are all of God, and they are completely protect the individual from all onslaught. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who can bring up any sin that was not charged to Jesus Christ? Who can have anything against the people of God? Now, they may bring up things, but they can't bring up things to God. They may say all kinds of things about God's people. Just as that pastor that brought me the gospel, there was that preacher who wanted to get in an argument with him when he said, all you got in your church is sinners. And that dear old preacher says, you got that right. Why argue about it? And the people in that church that knew anything knew that was right. Just like here. The people who know anything know that's right. We're just sinners saved by grace. But the wall of fire, the protective wall, is the salvation of the Lord. In the book of Isaiah 60, Zechariah had the wonderful privilege of going over these thoughts with those people in Jerusalem that had come back from Babylon, come out of captivity. They understood what it was to be in captivity, just like every one of God's people knows what it was to be in captivity, captivity of sin. And here he saves his people out of that, and he gives them rich, great blessings in Christ Jesus. He didn't save our flesh. That's a plague from here to the end. Oh, wretched man that I am. But by his Spirit, he gives us that new one. Christ in us, the hope of glory. All right, the book of Isaiah here, chapter 60 and verse 18. Chapter 60 and verse 18, it says, violence shall no more be heard in thy land, wasting or destruction within thy borders. But thou shalt call thy walls salvation and thy gates praise. Call the walls salvation. You know, that preacher told me, he said he never argues over eternal security. He just simply asks, it just depends on who saved you. If God saved you, you have the walls of salvation. If you saved you, it is terrible. It is terrible. There is no security, inside or outside. It's about the same. No oppressor can pass through. Go back with me to the book of Zechariah. Zechariah chapter 9. Zechariah chapter 9 and verse 8. And I will encamp about my house because of the army, because of him that passeth by, because of him that returneth, and no oppressor shall pass through them any more. For now have I seen with my eyes, no oppressor shall pass through them any more. The blessings of the Lord, the good riches of his grace, the Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge, is what we find several times in the Psalms. His glory shall be our defense. Broad rivers and streams wherein shall go no galleys with oars. That's found in the book of Isaiah. We have many rivers, but no war galleys are going to go on them. No gallant ships thereby. That's just figurative language to the figurative language. We're not going to have an interest in someone overthrowing the church. During the Civil War, President Lincoln said, we need to protect the mouth of the Columbia River. Go out there and build a fort and put some cannons so the Confederates don't take the Pacific Northwest. They didn't have a thought towards doing it, but there they were. World War I, same thing. World War II, same thing. Had protection out there. Well, we don't have to have the guns out there when it comes to the church, because he said, nobody's going to come up against you. Nobody's going to overthrow you. You are in me. There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? And it enumerates a number of things, and yet that's not all the things. To height or depth or any other creature. No, no, no. I love what it says in the book of Ecclesiastes. I know that whatsoever God doeth, it shall be forever. Book of Ecclesiastes. I know whatsoever the Lord doeth. That's comfort. That's comfort. That's eternality of salvation. Whatsoever the Lord does shall be forever. I have given him even the sure mercies of David. The sure mercies of Christ. I like that word sure in there, but mercies has a lot to do too. Mercy means that he's taken care of the problem. Sin. Well, Zechariah got to say what we get to say every Sunday, every Wednesday night. The church is protected. Flee to Christ. Flee to the city of refuge. Nobody can come in here and disrupt. He said, for I, saith the Lord, will be unto her a wall of fire round about, and will be the glory in the midst of her.